Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya, where we talk all about Lyme and beyond, because as most of us know, Lyme rarely travels alone. I created this podcast to offer you hope and to remind you that healing is possible because I healed from my own 13-year journey. Although it was exhausting, physically, emotionally, and financially, it truly was a blessing as it reshaped my mind, body, and soul. In this space, we share raw and real conversations with those who have made it to the other side of this journey, along with breaking down different topics and approaches with practitioners. My goal is to make you feel less alone, more empowered, and confident in being your own advocate. So thank you so much for tuning in today. And if you're looking for more tips and resources, I share everything I learned along my journey on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya website. So now let's get to today's guest. Today I've got Kelsey with me. And what is interesting about her is that one of her hobbies has always been foraging. Little did she know that that would turn into more of a hobby once she got her Lyme diagnosis. So super excited to have her on the show and to hear her journey. Kelsey, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tanya, for having me. I appreciate you, and I'm excited to be here and share my story. And my dog is drinking water already, so I'm sorry for
Nope, it is
the
all good. That
noise.
is
Okay.
part of life,
But
right? Kids
yeah.
screaming in the background,
Yeah.
dogs barking. Nope, we got it. It is all good. Well, I'm excited to
Absolutely.
hear your journey. So,
Thank you.
where do we start? Where does your journey start? Do you know?
Well, let's say it was 2023. So I've been foraging for plants, fruits, mushrooms for about a decade now. And I was very ignorant to Lyme disease. I thought, it just gave you some joint aches and some fatigue. But after I got bit in July of 2023, I was raspberry picking. And I found the tick 3 days later, and that's kind of where my story began. So I was out doing what I loved most, and it was about 5 days after I found the tick that I had the worst fever of my entire life and every symptom in the book. So
Oh,
that's
wow.
where it
So
all
yours
began.
came on fast, right? Because
It
a
came
lot
on
of times
very
it
fast.
doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm one of the lucky ones. Because none of us who get Lyme are lucky. But
Right.
I would say that I'm one of the lucky ones because I found the tick, because I came down with the symptoms within the week. It was, I guess, the process of getting to where I am now that was probably like my biggest journey. And it was a very long year of my life.
Right.
So
And I'm sure it was much easier to connect the dots, so to say, right? Like you
yes.
saw the tick, you know
Yes.
a little bit about it, all of a sudden you have all these random symptoms.
Yes.
So yes, if we can use lucky in the same sentence as
Yeah.
Lyme, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe this would be a good time because yes, oftentimes we cannot connect the dots because we don't get sick for years later, or we never actually see the tick, or we don't get a bullseye rash, or you know, so many
Exactly.
scenarios. So all right, so let's just kind of walk through the process. So you're probably thinking, okay, I have Lyme disease. Like this is too coincidental. So where did you go? Did you go to your primary doctor or?
So yes, I did go to my primary doctor. It was kind of just terrible from the start. So I walked in with every symptom in the book. Plus, I didn't have the tick. I wish I had known to save the tick because it would have saved me thousands of dollars in the long run. But I went to my primary care physician. I was originally supposed to see the doctor, but they changed me out to just to see the nurse on duty to they wanted to take blood sample to send it in. I wish I knew then what I know now. I mean, I wish I even knew a little bit then, because I left without a prescription of doxycycline. I asked multiple times, like, is there something I need to be taking? Like, I have every symptom in the book. I have the fever, I have the muscle aches, I have the headache, and she was like, oh, just continue taking Tylenol. And that was on a Thursday. My results came back on a Tuesday. I flew to Oregon on that Thursday. Yes. It was a bachelorette party for one of my best friends in Oregon. Mind you, I live in Pennsylvania. So this is the entire
A journey, yeah.
across the country. Saturday, I ended up, I took my first dose of doxycycline the day before I left. Saturday, I ended up in the emergency room in Oregon, with kind of debilitating symptoms. And now looking back, I realize it might have been a hurts to the doxycycline just because I was having all these symptoms, and throwing in the killer just sent me into like a whirlwind of crazy neurological symptoms, as in like my face went completely numb. I lost my vision. I couldn't speak. My friends had to carry me into the emergency room because I couldn't walk. It was just probably one of the scariest days of my life because I've never, I was 30, how old am I now? I'm 34. I was 30, 30, I think 32 at the time. And I've never had any instances where I was in the emergency room. I've never had any health concerns. So to go from perfectly healthy to a week later being in the emergency room with symptoms that you can't explain and the doctors can't figure out, was terrifying.
I
But
bet. Yeah. So let's back up for just a second. So
sure.
you go to your primary care office, they send you home, take Tylenol, you send the test in, and so now all of a sudden you have doxy. So what did they call you and say you actually had a
So
positive ELISA test,
yeah,
which is or Western blot?
Tuesday they called me and said, you are positive for Lyme. I'm going to send in a prescription for doxycycline, and I picked it up Wednesday. I started it Wednesday, and yep, like I said, Thursday I was
So very
flying.
interesting for those that, are not familiar with this, those testings that we get through our primary doctors, they're either, a lot of times they start with the Western blot, and then if there's anything suspicious, they might do an ELISA, vice versa. It just depends. But oftentimes it can't pick up the infection as early as it did for you. So another, can we say lucky, right? So I'm curious, how much doxycycline did they send you home with or tell you that you were going to take? Because the standard is kind of 2 weeks, but it truly, listeners, it needs to be at least 6 to 8 weeks or it's not going to be effective for you.
Exactly. They started me on a 21-day course, so 3 week.
21. Okay.
I was at the point where my symptoms were so bad that I started taking upon the research myself, and I connected on a bunch of Facebook groups of Lyme disease, and I kind of researched in within the groups, and I saw that people were saying, oh no, it needs to be way longer than 3 weeks, 2 weeks. For actual positive cases, it needs to be a minimum of 6 weeks to start. I brought this up to my primary doctor, and she agreed to give me another 2 weeks, but then that was it. So that's when I started doing my own research, and I found my functional medicine doctor, who helped me. And we'll talk more about that, but it was just crazy to think that my primary care physicians, they really had no idea about anything Lyme related. I actually had a Zoom meeting with my actual doctor when I was in Oregon, because I was upset. I was very upset. Like, I should have left that office that day with a prophylactic dose of doxycycline to start. Not let's wait till your results come back, keep taking Tylenol. Because I feel like that week is so crucial to, the multiplication of the bacteria. I mean, they multiply, I forget what they say, by 30% sometimes per day, depending. So I lost out on a lot of time because of the ignorance of doctors, and so
Yeah,
that's
and
when
it is sad. It's scary.
it is.
It's
There are some
disheartening.
good
Some,
doctors.
right, but it truly, right now, currently, right in 2026, our primary care doctors, these physicians that are within the traditional allopathic Western medicine, they truly just aren't capable of helping us, whether it is testing or treating. And unfortunately, that leaves us as a patient to seek out alternative help that we have to pay cash for. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. Hopefully, right, continue to
Yeah.
work and pray and share our voices that will change, hopefully sooner than later. But that is how it is right now.
Right now. Yeah.
So
It seems to be changing. It seems like a little bit here and there. It's starting to get better for
with
us.
people like you, Kelsey, sharing your
Yeah.
voice
Oh,
with us, right? Like,
and
these
you.
are the changes that are going to, help make changes happen by us continuing to share our voices and our stories and letting them understand that this really is truly like a pandemic. I mean, it
It
is. There's
is.
so many more
Defiant
people getting Lyme disease. The
pandemic.
ticks are out crazy right now. Like, it just is very scary. We've got to be educated.
Yes.
So I love that you searched out a functional medicine doctor. And so then kind of
Yeah.
take us down that journey. So, because it's interesting that you really fell ill really quickly.
It did. So I knew just by my symptoms that I was experiencing either neurological Lyme disease, which is what 15% of Lyme cases, or I was experiencing something else. And like I said, I took research. I was off work. I spent 5, 6 hours a day on the
A
laptop,
full-time job, right?
full-time job researching. I was on PubMD. I was reading all of the scientific like studies, trying to figure out what was going on. Through contact with Facebook too and listing my symptoms, I found that it was possible that I had either Bartonella or Babesia or any of the co-infections. So prior to finding my functional medicine doctor, this was probably 4 weeks after my diagnosis. I went to my primary care physician and I was like, my doxycycline runs out in a week. I am demanding these tests, the Babesia, the Bartonella, through my primary, which she granted, thankfully. I went to my local hospital and got blood work done. My Babesia test came back super high off the charts, which is another thing that is very difficult to detect, Babesia. Bartonella came back negative. So CDC recommendation for a Babesia treatment is 10 days of anti-malaria with a combination of azithromycin, which anybody who knows anything about the treatment of Babesia will know that 10 days is a laughable dose. I knew that I needed to find another doctor, somebody that knew something more than what my doctor was Googling on the CDC website. That they have a health portal and it's the recommendations. I get it, but I needed a doctor that was like, no, you need to be on this longer and a combination with this. So that's when I started looking for functional medicine doctors or Lyme literate doctors. And thankfully, I found a functional medicine doctor about 15 minutes away who was specialized in Lyme. And I went on my first trip, and these doctors, they spend an hour like face to face talking to you, and I bawled my eyes out on my first visit with him because I felt seen, I felt heard. He understood the herbal concoctions I put myself on. I developed like a little protocol that I started myself. He corrected me on the names because I was mispronouncing them. He knew exactly what I was doing. And he knew that I needed a couple months worth of the antimalarial and the combination of azithromycin. And that's exactly what he did for me, which I can't imagine anybody who was not able to go that route and trusted their primary care physician with the 10 days. And then it's hard to think that some people aren't as lucky, I guess I should say. I did get lucky with the functional medicine doctor down the street, and
Yeah, but I think a lot of it too, and this is something that I really try to impress upon people is that we truly have to be our own advocate, right? And you were from the get-go. Like you said, it was a full-time job,
it was.
right? Looking PubMD, joining these Facebook groups, hearing from people that have been suffering for years. We learn things. We don't know what we don't know, and we learn things, and people share within these groups. So it's great information to be able to gather. And so That I won't say was luck. That is just pure, you were being your own advocate. And that's truly what it takes to get through this journey. Now, you
It
could be a little lucky to find a practitioner so close to you, right? Because many of
is.
us have to travel. But all that work was on you. So don't dismiss that. You get all that credit for sure.
I do appreciate that because it was a very long journey. And like I said, I developed my own protocol before I even saw the functional medicine doctor, and
And
I had a
so,
list
can we
of
talk about that?
everything.
What did your
Sure.
protocol look like?
So, I kind of figured out with like the spirochetes and the three forms of Lyme with like the round bodies, the spirochetes and everything like that. I and the biofilms is the third one. I kind of researched a lot more into that, whereas, the bacteria kind of forms these colonies where and they surround themselves with biofilm. It makes it almost very difficult to penetrate with antibiotics. So you essentially need to break those biofilms up. So my protocol after researching all this was to take a binder in the morning. So it kind of bound up all the die-off and whatnot overnight. Take a binder in the morning, and then in the more an hour later, I would take my antibiotic, and then about with my antibiotics. Yes, I have to remember. So this was 2 years ago, so I have to remember exactly what it was. But with my antibiotic, I would take all my killers, essentially my antibiotics, my herbals, which was Japanese knotweed, cat's claw, and I have cryptolepsis was the other one.
Love
So
them,
I.
yeah.
Yep, I would take all of my killers, and then midday I would take all of my probiotics because so important when you're taking multiple antibiotics.
Yes.
So, like I said, I was taking the anti-malaria, the azithromycin, and they even extended my doxycycline. So I was on doxycycline for about 8 months,
Oh, wow.
which can cause a lot of gut issues for people if you're not like on top of that. So every day I would load up with probiotics in the afternoon and all of my supplements in the afternoons. And then come nighttime, I would take my killers again. And of course, throughout the day, you're doing your detox protocols, you're drinking your lemon water, you're dry brushing, you're taking your baths, and for me, my diet was completely changed. I went from being what my fiance would call the pasta monster, because I loved pasta, to no gluten, no sugar, no alcohol, no caffeine, and very limited dairy around my antibiotic time. So it was, to me, felt like a life or death situation because of the symptoms I was having, which my symptoms, I can just briefly explain it, was a lot of neurological. I was having major heart palpitations, very bad tinnitus. I could not ride in a vehicle for almost a month because I would dizziness is probably one of the worst symptoms that I had. Dizziness and then very increased anxiety. I was never an anxious person before Lyme disease, well, Babesia, but Babesia caused a tremendous amount of anxiety for me. Internal vibrations and weak upper body. I couldn't stir stuff on the stove. I couldn't fold laundry. I couldn't hardly sometimes hold my own jaw up. So it was a lot to process. Like I said, to go from a perfectly 32 healthy 32-year-old to completely housebound in like 3 weeks.
Right.
So for me, yeah, the research was like a life or death situation, honestly.
And again, like we don't know what we don't know, right? You knew
Exactly,
enough about
exactly.
it. And truly, it is kind of a life or death situation because if
It
we
is.
don't eradicate this right away,
No.
we're going to end up with chronic Lyme disease, right? Which does
Yes.
not mean it's not a death sentence. I had chronic Lyme. I went undiagnosed for 7 years, right? I was
Wow,
bedridden
yes.
with a caregiver. I didn't know my name. And
Oh
I
my
have
goodness.
100% recovered. I don't treat. I've been symptom free for over 5 years. So it is 1,000,000% possible for all of us to
Yes.
heal
Yes.
But nonetheless, we don't want chronic Lyme. So it really
No.
does need to be taken seriously, these tick bites that we get, right?
Yes,
And just
absolutely.
because you've been bitten your whole life a million times, it's like the ticks are different nowadays, right?
They,
Like we don't need to go into that whole
you know,
conversation,
that's a whole
but
other conspiracy,
it's
but yes.
right. Like they're just different. They're everywhere. It seems like they're all infected nowadays. And so we really need to kind of step up our game. But I absolutely love everything that you just mentioned, Kelsey. So I want to kind of talk about a few of them.
Sure.
So yeah,
Yeah.
some of the herbs that you mentioned are fabulous. The detoxing, the binders. It
Yes.
is amazing
Yes.
to me how many people I hear in the community that have been treating with a very good Lyme literate doctor. They don't even know what a binder is. Now,
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor, right? We're just patients. But
Yes.
it's
No.
amazing to me. Think about it. When we're killing these pathogens in our body, they release toxins. They sometimes, depending, Babesia parasites, they're going to release high levels of ammonia,
Yes.
metals, all sorts of things. When they die, what do you think happens? It is just recirculating in your body. You've got to bind them. A binder is like a little magnet, right? Like that just magnetizes these things, and then you're going to poop them out. They're
Exactly.
so important. And, I know that some practitioners don't use them, and that's okay. To me, it just is mind-blowing that we don't do the binders. So I love that you have brought that up. And then, you're lymphatic, you're dry brushing because we have our detox pathways that oftentimes shut down or get sluggish when we're overloaded with toxins, so to say, right? And so you've got to
Absolutely.
keep those pathways open. And these can be some truly simple things that we can do at home on our own. I think one of the frustrating things that I feel people feel that are in this community is that I can't afford to treat, right? I get that.
Exactly. Yes.
It can be costly, 100%. I'm not going to sugarcoat that one. It really can be. But there are also so many things that we can do at home on our own that are inexpensive or free, right?
Yes,
Like our nervous
absolutely.
system is one of the biggest
Yeah.
pieces to the puzzle. And
Yes,
there's
we'll talk
so
about
many
more about
ways
that too, for sure.
to regulate our nervous system, right? We can do breathing, we can do grounding, we can do humming, right? Like humming and gargling is going to activate your vagus nerve, which is part of your nervous system. Like if our body is in that constant fight or flight, you can never heal. You just
Yes,
can't. And
absolutely.
so many people don't understand the power of our nervous system. So does that mean we're going to get to geek out together and you want to talk about our nervous system? Go.
Yeah, absolutely. Because actually some the where my biggest healing came in. So I am generally a pretty positive person. But during this whole thing, the first couple of months, I was in this stage of, oh my God, I'm never gonna get better. This is my life forever. I don't know how I'm gonna live this way. Nothing's working. I can't get past it. No one's gonna wanna like I'm so thankful for my fiance and sticking with me through everything. My support system was huge. Some people unfortunately do not have that, but it didn't really help my mental state at the moment, just because I was so set that this is gonna be the rest of my life. But then I started after, I was stuck in these few symptoms that could not go away, and I'm just thinking like, what am I doing wrong? Why can't I get unstuck? Why can't I move past this? What can I do? And it was vagus nerve, brain retraining. So your gut and your brain are so connected. That
It's music to my
mindset,
ears,
yeah,
Kelsey.
it's mindset is literally everything when it comes to healing. Your brain to gut connection, like it, your gut is like 70% of your immune system. And if your immune system is not good, if your gut is not good, your immune system can't, I wouldn't say rebuild, but your immune system can't help you as much as it wants to help you. And by retraining to think positively and telling yourself like, I'm not, I don't have Lyme disease. I am battling Lyme disease It does not define me. I will get through this. I will, just staying positive through the whole thing and not. Some people have a hard time thinking positively and believing it. You have to think positively and you have to train your brain to believe that that is going to be the outcome. Self-meditation and working on your vagus nerve and getting yourself out of fight or flight, regulating your cortisol levels, is probably that is what propelled me into getting to like my final healing stages. Honestly, you can be taking all the antibiotics, all of the herbs, the binders, doing all the detoxes in the world, but if your brain is not in the right mindset to get yourself to where you want to be, you're not, you might get there eventually, but you will not get there as fast as you probably want to. And I 1000% believe that mindset is so, it's hard to comprehend it unless you've been through it. And Tanya, you look like you've actually had to go through kind of something similar, maybe like with change in mindset or.
Yes, I just, a lot of the things I had to learn the hard way, right? Because back when I was sick, I don't even know if I was on Facebook, honestly. So I don't even know if there were any groups. I didn't have those resources at my fingertips like we can now, right? And so I
Yes,
didn't know a
absolutely.
lot of things, but kind of going through the journey and going through, I don't know, maybe like the last couple years of my journey where I'm better. I know my name. I can drive. I can semi live, still very debilitated, right? It was like, how am I going to get over these last hurdles? And then my brain would think clearer, right? Like, I know my name. And so working through, like, the healing lens of Tanya, I kind of categorize them into six categories. And one of the six, of course, is nervous system, right? And then two of the other ones are addressing blocked traumas and emotion.
Yes, absolutely. Yes,
So
throw that
those are the pieces to the puzzle
in
in my eyes, right? Like there's a lot of other things going on that we need to work on and support, but those are such big pieces that
there.
people don't understand, right? Like
It's
they
almost
don't
like,
understand. And so hearing you talk about this is just like, oh my gosh, please shout it some more, shout it from the rooftops, because we understand. We were down and out. We had very, very dark days, right? And it's hard to think, okay, so somebody's telling me they want me to breathe. They want me to go walk barefoot outside. They want me to, take a cold shower. They want, really? No, what I need is I need a treatment center that can do hyperthermia or SOT therapy or. And I'm nothing against that. I did hyperthermia. It was fabulous, right? I hear a lot of great things about SOT. But there are so many things that we have at our fingertips in our control that we can afford to do. And I wish everybody would understand the power of them.
It's interesting you say, like, so one of the things that I realized, so this was over winter. I got bit in July. My worst was at like November, December, January, February, the darkest days of the year. And I found that if I closed the door to my bedroom that was south facing, and I opened the window, it could be like 0 degrees outside, but because there was no airflow coming in or anywhere to go, I could sit in my bedroom in the direct sunlight on a 0 degree day and soak up the vitamin D. And that was one of the things that I did, like, every other day I just put on some music and open the window and sit there in the sun and just soak it up. And when it started to get nicer outside and I could tolerate being barefoot outside, I was out there with my feet on the ground, barefoot, grounding myself, just because the earth and the electromagnetic field, the grounding is absolutely incredible. There have been so many studies done on it, but reducing your inflammation is absolute key, and grounding is part of it, and getting the nutrients you need is part of it. And if you can get them any way naturally that you can, that is huge. Like sitting in the sun,
It's not
just
money
by
out of
your
our
warming,
pocket, right?
not out of your pocket. Exactly. It's free. It's stuff that you can do with not spending a dime.
It
So,
really is
yeah.
amazing. So I'm so happy that you figured this out, right?
Yeah.
You were your own advocate. You figured out these small little ways that, each little baby step that we do, each little win, they add up to big wins. I mean, they do. It's hard to oftentimes see it when we're in our darkest days, right?
Yeah,
So,
absolutely.
Kelsey, if you have any advice for the listeners when it comes to your mindset. So I know it's hard, right?
Yeah,
Like
it
I'm very much a Christian. I'm a big, believer of God,
is.
and I had a love-hate relationship with him for many years, right? Like I think that that's kind of normal. So I get how it's not just flipping that switch on. Okay, I have a great mindset, right? Like it's difficult. It
it's
it's not
very.
easy. So do you have any tips or can you shed any light on it for the listeners who might be struggling that really want to switch this, but they don't know where to start or what to do?
So there are actual resources out there, surprisingly, not surprisingly, because it is brain retraining is, a pretty important thing. There are actual apps out there that help you to retrain your brain. It's all about thinking positively and training yourself to believe that positivity. So you could say all the things like, I'm going to make it through. It's going to be a good day today. But if you're like, probably not, like, I doubt I'm just going to have a good day, but I'm going to try to have a good day. Like, you could,
So it's that
oh,
your the
it's like,
words that you speak and your thoughts, they
yes,
have to match,
they
right?
have to
Because
be
we truly
cohesive.
are our we are we are our words and we are our thoughts. So we can't be saying today is going to be a good day and in our mind going, life sucks, right?
Exactly. My biggest thing would be to say it strong and think strong. Like, I'm gonna have a good day today. There's no doubts about it. If you have any sort of doubt in your conversation, in your brain, then it's not going, like, at the beginning, obviously there's a lot of
I
work
was
that
just going to ask you
you
that.
need to
So
do. You
at
need
the
to get to that
beginning,
point.
right? Like, can you say to people, okay, let's have these words, even though we know kind of our subconscious is not, following along with us. The more you do it, the more practice, right? The more you start believing the words. So maybe that could be a tip for them as well
That
is
is
yes, you're
absolutely.
saying things right. I understand you may not believe it, but keep saying it because then you can get
Keep
yourself
saying
to
it.
believe it.
Yes, keep saying
Consistency. So many
it. Like,
things are consistency, right?
exactly. Cohesiveness and consistency, those are huge when it comes to healing and retraining your brain. Absolutely.
I love that. So what are some of the apps that you found that are
Well,
on it? I mean, would people just kind of look up brain retraining or mindset or and then just ones pop
so
up?
I honestly have not had to use mine in a very long
And
time.
actually, let's do this, Kelsey. So, why don't listeners, as always, when we talk about specific things on the episode, I'll put the information in the description of this
There you
episode. So,
go.
just get back to me with maybe one or two of your favorite apps that worked for you. We can
Sure.
pop them in the description of this because that is another thing. Yes, there are doctors out there, right? There are practitioners that do brain retraining. There are practitioners that do EMDR work. There's a practitioner for everyone. And a lot of times they could be fabulous, but I know so many people, they really have to allocate their financial resources. So if there's other ways for us to get the help that we need, I love to share it. So
Absolutely. I'll send those to you for sure.
perfect.
Yeah.
So then when it comes to, you had mentioned earlier, one of your big passions in life was foraging, right? So oftentimes, a lot of times when people get well, they live in fear. They have this PTSD of being out in nature, which is truly our natural medicine, right? Because, and I get it, but I think that those are one of the layers of trauma that we have to work through in my little healing lens, right? In order to fully get well or to stay well, right? And not knock out of remission. And so,
Absolutely.
How was that for you? So I'm assuming that, your passion was you wanted to get back out there, but can you kind of
Yes.
walk us through, did you live in that fear? Was that another thing you had to
I
kind of train
did.
yourself about, and how did you do it?
I did. So my fiance and I are both big outdoor people. We're hunters, we're fishermen, women. He comes foraging with me. He loves to learn as well. So having his support and wanting to get back out there was also huge help for me to want to get back out there. But from the very beginning, when I speak about my journey, my mom, my best friend are like, "Oh my gosh, I'm never going outside again." Yada, yada. But I always tell them, like, "No, you cannot think that way. Like, I might have a story and slight PTSD from what I went through, but foraging is like one of my absolute loves. Being in nature is one of my absolute favorite things. I'll never let what happened to me hold me back because it's just letting the Lyme disease win. As long as you're taking the precautions, like I said, I wish I knew then what I know now, even just slightly a little bit more, slightly more then. But as long as you're taking the right precautions and you're doing your thorough tick checks and multiple days after you've been out in the woods and using, some people are all about toxin free, which I am to an extent, but when it comes to preventing ticks, I go with the hardest stuff that you possibly can, and that's permethrin, and I don't go lightly on it. So I take all the measures. I actually keep, between my fiance and I, we have 5 vehicles.
Oh my
Yeah,
gosh.
but I keep a bottle of permethrin in every single one of them, just because there's so many times where we'll be driving and we see wild asparagus on the side of the road, or and we'll see raspberries by beyond the tree line, or I'll just see something I want to stop and grab. So I keep them in every single vehicle, and I douse myself with permethrin, and I do the checks. And for me, having the level of preventatives is kind of like a relaxer, helps me to say, I can continue to do the things that I love. I don't have to let that fear get me down and stop me from doing what I want to do, essentially. And that is being outdoors, and that is, continuing my life as it was prior to Lyme, but with the newfound knowledge of Lyme disease and ticks.
Right. And that's so important. It's education and awareness, right? Like,
Yes.
let's be proactive,
Absolutely.
not reactive. So, during this journey, I think for me, one of the blessings was all the stuff I learned, right? I never would have gone down this rabbit hole had I not got Lyme disease. And so, all the things
Exactly.
that I've learned, I don't live in fear. I go out, I've had ticks on me, haven't had any tick bites, and I think it's because I drink my sister's tea. But so I just think that it's being, aware, right? Like, so if something happens, we get bit. Well, we've got a toolbox. What do you have in your toolbox? What type of tools do you have, right? We have the
Exactly.
knowledge now
The
to
knowledge.
get through the journey, and life isn't perfect. No part of life
Exactly.
is perfect, but we can't let it steal. We can't let anything steal our joy and what we love to do, right? And for you, that is being in nature, and that truly is our medicine. So I love that
Exactly.
you have your tools in every car, right? Because you just never
Yes,
know.
literally, and I try to spread awareness through like my social media pages. All of my friends, my closest friends, know what I've gone through. But there's so many people by sharing on my social media pages about what to do after you've been bitten or what to do before you go out into nature. And I've had so many people reach out to me, asking questions. There's never a question that I will turn away when it comes to anything Lyme related. Like, I am an open book. I've done my research. I've done my hours. I have the knowledge, and like I said, I'm an open book, and I want to share it with everybody. So, it's definitely been a powerful tool
I
lately, for
love that.
sure.
Yes, and with the community growing, it's I love to
Yes.
see, new faces in the community. I've been, here for over a decade, and I love to see new faces come into this community and share our voices because it really is powerful. And that was one of the reasons why I was so just over the moon to get my website up, because now I don't have to do that one-on-one ask, answering questions all the time, because one of us, Kelsey, right? Like, we can only do so much. We can only answer so many messages a day. And so by having everything I learned on my website, LymanBeyondMetanya.com, like, it's going to be such an amazing resource for everybody. And on there as well, like you just mentioned, Kelsey, I did an episode on navigating a tick bite, and it is literally walks you through everything, whether you should start antibiotics or not, how much, how to test the tick, like the whole thing. And so it's an amazing resource for everybody, right? Being proactive. Nobody knows when they're going to be bit by a tick. So I'm so proud of you for all the work that you did to make it through the journey. And it doesn't sound like it was easy, but you were really forced into a corner. But had you not stood up and took action in your own life, the outcome could have been very different.
Very different. Yes, I agree. I would not be where I am today if I did not self-advocate for sure.
I love
Absolutely.
that. I love that. So I know that has your foraging kind of turned into maybe a little side business to help others, so people can reach out to you maybe and get some help. And again, listeners, we'll put in the description of this episode how to find Kelsey and how to reach out to her. But tell me a little bit about that. So do you just move into herbs, or come on, tell us.
So I'm in the process of restocking. I do have a few things listed, but prior to Lyme, I did have a page. It's called Appalachian Remedies on Etsy. I was doing, mullein infused candles, and I was doing plantain salves and fire ciders and a bunch of stuff like that. But then after experiencing Lyme, I'm now, I've got medicinal cat's claw tinctures that I have, ghost pipe tincture, black walnut, Japanese knotweed. I'm working on actually infusing a tincture on the knotweed at the moment, but I'm all about using the land to your benefit. And I mean, the cat's claw is something that I sourced elsewhere, but mostly all of the stuff that I make, the ghost pipe tincture, the knotweed, all of that is stuff that I've foraged, I've handpicked on my own. And then I've done the whole process to either make it into a salve, a candle, tincture. I've done elderberry syrups, I've done a bunch of stuff like that. So, like I said, with it being summer now, I'm in the process of restocking and making all of my stuff again. But I do have some stuff listed on my page on Appalachian Remedies Company
I
on Etsy. So I'll
absolutely
definitely send that to you with the
love
link.
that. I love that. How fun and exciting. And then knowing that, like, we're truly taking from nature to help heal our bodies. Like our the oh, it's just amazing. And it's so funny because, obviously not like you, because you became your own advocate much quicker than I did for myself. But I know that when I had to turn to alternative health, to figure out what was going on with me, there was a lot of really weird stuff that I heard, right? Like some of these tinctures names that you mentioned, I'm like, you what? You want me to take these little drops of something? It made no sense to me. Muscle testing, like, none of it made any sense to me. And now it truly is just, I love it so much, because go back to the roots of, what our grandparents used. And it really is powerful stuff. And
It is.
I'm never saying that, because people need to be aware that just because it's an herbal tincture doesn't mean it doesn't have any side effects, or it can't interact with
Absolutely,
prescription
absolutely.
medications. Like, it is really a powerful thing in itself. So always,
It
work with your practitioner, or be your own advocate, learn on your own, do what you
very
need to do
powerful.
to know that.
And I will say, like, some of those tinctures, like, depending on your level of symptoms, one drop would be the start because it is so powerful. Cryptolepsis, one drop to start. And then you build up from there up to about 15 to 20 drops a day. And you hear drop and you're thinking, oh, that's nothing. Like a single drop, I can handle that. Some people can't. Some people, it affects them. It'll send them into a herx with one drop. And they are very powerful, powerful tinctures. Not just mine, but I'm saying just those tinctures, the
In
herbs in
general,
general.
yeah. Gosh, that
Yeah.
made me think of something I haven't thought of in so many years.
Yeah.
So, after the fire that I had gone through, I had lost all of my protocols and everything I was working on. And so I immediately was like, okay, what can I order today? Right? Like, what can I get my hands on today to kind of pick up where I left off? And cementa was one of them. And
Yep.
I remember I would put like one drop, and I do that for several days and I do two, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have time for this kind of stuff. And so I think I put, I don't know, maybe like 8 drops in one day. I wished I was dead. Honestly, I wished I was dead. I
Yeah,
was like, you've got to be kidding me. 8 drops, and like it
eight
just, I
drops.
mean, crashed me hard. So they are
Yeah.
powerful. We have to
Yeah,
work up and listen to
very.
our body. Yeah, for sure.
Oil of oregano and all that stuff can be, yeah, it can definitely cause some herxes, and we all know how herxes go. And some of us, I don't know how your herxes were. Some people, I wouldn't say, are lucky and they have like flu-like symptoms. My herxes were all neurological, so they were terrifying. So I did everything that I could. I started low and slow on everything I could to reduce the herxes because, like I said, my herxes were terrifying with the neurological symptoms.
Yes,
But
I'm sure.
yeah, so.
And I think that there's still a few thoughts on both sides of that. Like, do we herx because we're overkilling, or do we herx because our detox pathways aren't open? I think it's a combination of both, right? Or
It's a
it could
combination.
be one or the other, or a combination of both. So there's just many layers to this to work through. But yeah, definitely. I know. I'm pretty sure I just lived in a constant herx for several years, right?
Oh
Like I
my
didn't know what
gosh.
I didn't know. And
Yes,
so,
yeah.
yes, but we don't need to totally live in that misery. So adjust
Yeah,
something, either,
agreed.
lower what you're working on or work
Yes.
harder on your detoxing to find that little balance for you.
Yes,
It's
I always say to
really a
people,
marathon, not a sprint.
exactly. And you don't have to herx to heal. Yes, herxing can be like a sign that you're killing, but as long as you're detoxing, you're doing all of the things, you do not have to herx to heal.
I
I
love
actually
that.
had
That's a very powerful comment right there because
it.
it's so true.
I had very scary herxes, but once I learned why they were happening and what I needed to do and lowering my doses and stuff, I healed probably the last. So I was on antibiotics for almost a year. I would say the last 9 months, I did not herx. I did not herx. I made sure I did not herx. And I healed. And here I am. That was
I love it.
March of 20, no, almost July of 2024 is when I've healed. So I'm going on 2 years of symptom free, completely symptom free. Back to myself.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
And just keeping a strong foundation, right? Everything in
Absolutely.
moderation, keep a strong foundation. And
Absolutely.
I truly think that we can stay well and go out and be in nature and truly get our lives back. And it's a different form of a life, right? It really does kind of
It is.
redefine us, but it truly is amazing on the other side. So
Exactly.
happy for you, Kelsey.
Thank you. And I'm happy for you too. I know it's been a long journey for you as well. So
Thank
I'm
you.
happy to have this conversation.
So you shared so much information. Any
Oh,
one last piece of advice maybe you want to throw out to the listeners before we end?
I would guess my one biggest piece of advice would be to stay strong and advocate and don't lose hope. That's the biggest one. Don't lose hope
It
because
truly is.
I've been in a lot of hopeless situations. But not losing hope definitely helped me get through for sure.
I love it. Well, Kelsey, thank you so much for joining me. I really
Thank you,
appreciate
Monica.
it.
I appreciate it too. Thank you.